So I'm very happy to be here today, but at the same time I was thinking that this is the second time I came to Radha Gopinath temple when Radhanath Maharaj is not here. And naturally I'm not feeling very happy about that. But the other day I was talking to Radha Krishna Prabhu, and Radha Krishna Prabhu was telling me that I didn't come to Chobari temple for a long time. And so I told him that I am coming to Bombay. So yesterday I came to Bombay just for 2 days, and I told Radha Krishna Prabhu that this time I would come. And so although I came here, but at the same time I'm feeling a little sad that I came but Radhanath Maharaj is not here. And anyway, I'll be seeing Maharaj soon in America, so that's my consolation. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj ki jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 17. The Lord agrees to become Aditi's son. Text 25 onwards. This is the end of this chapter. So, so it's ending at text 28. And there is a short purport at for the text 27 and 28 doesn't have any purport. So let's all conjointly recite the text 25 and then we'll go on. Shri Brahmovacha Jayorugaya Jaya Bhagavan Urukramo Namastute Namo Brahmana Devaya Trigunaya Namo Namaha. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all glories unto you, who are glorified by all and whose activities are all uncommon. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, O Lord of the Transcendentalists, controller of the three modes of nature. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. Please repeat after me. Lord Brahma said, So this verse, as I mentioned earlier, doesn't have any purport, and so does the next few verses. So I'll just read them through. Namaste Prishni Garbhaya, Beda Garbhaya Bedhase, Trinabhaya Triprishtaya, Shipi Vishtaya Vishnave. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the all-pervading Lord Vishnu, who have entered the cores of the hearts of all living entities. All the three worlds reside within your navel, yet you are above the three worlds. Formerly, you appeared as the son of Prishni. To you, the Supreme Creator, who are understood only through Vedic knowledge, I offer my respectful obeisances. Text 27. Tamadiranto bhuvanasya madhya ananta shaktiṃ purushaṃ jamahu kālo bhavānakṣi patīśa viṣyaṃ śroto jathānta patītaṃ gabhīraṃ. O my Lord, you are beginning, the manifestation and the ultimate dissolution of the three worlds. and you are celebrated in the Vedas as a reservoir of unlimited potencies, the Supreme Person. O my Lord, as waves attract branches and leaves, and thus have fallen, that have fallen into deep water, you, the supreme eternal time factor, attract everything in this universe. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Maybe we can read this verse together. O my Lord,
O my Lord,
you are the beginning, the manifestation, and the ultimate dissolution of the three worlds. And you are celebrated in the Vedas as the reservoir of unlimited potencies, the Supreme Person. O my Lord, as waves attract branches and leaves,
that have fallen into deep water,
you, the supreme eternal time factor,
attract everything in this universe.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The time factor is sometimes described as Kala Shrota, waves of time. Everything in this material world is within the time factor and is being carried away by waves of attraction which represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'll go to the next verse also, since that's the last verse of this chapter. Text 28. Tang bai prajanam sthira jangamanam prajapatinam asi sambha vishnu divai kashang deva divaschutanam parayanam nairiva man majjatopshu. My Lord, you are the original generator of all living entities, stationary and moving. And you are also the generator of the Prajapatis. O my Lord, as a boat is the only hope for a person drowning in the water, you are the only shelter of the demigods who are now bereft of their heavenly position. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 17th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Supreme Lord Agrees to Become Aditi's Son. Om Agyashna. So, the Lord agrees to become Aditi's son. So this chapter is the prelude to the appearance of the Lord as Bamanadev. Bali took over Indra's kingdom. Bali considered that Indra, the demigods, are his stepbrothers. They're actually brothers. They're hailing from the same father. So why Indra and the demigods, or the Adityas, Aditi's sons, will have the heavenly planet and they'll enjoy all the facilities there, and they have to reside in the lower planetary system where sun rays don't even enter? So he considered that this was unfair, so he decided to take over Indra's kingdom away from him. And so he attacked the heavenly planet, defeated the demigods, and took away the heavenly planets. And naturally, Indra and other demigods, the children of Aditi, who are generally known as Adityas, they were just wandering around without any place to stay. and undergoing various hardships, various difficulties. So, seeing their condition, their mother, Aditi, became very much afflicted. She became very sad. So she decided to perform Payavrata, a very special vrata, and just by drinking milk and fasting and undergoing all kinds of austerities and penances. And as a result of her vrata, Payavrata performance, the Lord became pleased with her and he appeared. And when he found out what was going on in Aditi's mind, what was Aditi's intention of approaching him, he decided, he assured Aditi to fulfill her desire by appearing as a son, and eventually he would reinstate the demigods in the heavenly planet by deceiving Bali Maharaj. Chalayashi Vikramane Balim Adbhuta Bhamana. In order to deceive by his wonderful influence, Vikram, he appeared as Vamana, dwarf. First of all, a dwarf, and then secondly as a child. He was a dwarf and then again he's a child. So he was very small, little boy. And in this way, he deceived Bali Maharaj and took away his possession. And so when the Lord appeared to Aditi, being satisfied with her performance of jagya, performance of payavrata, then Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this chapter describes how she was overwhelmed with emotion and ecstasy. And that is the wonderful thing about perceiving the Supreme Lord. We cannot even imagine how wonderful that perception is. That's what has been pointed out, that when we see the deities on the altar, we don't really see the deity. We don't see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We just see some statue, some form carved out of stone or wood or clay or metal. But that perception is not the real perception of the Supreme Lord. The real perception of the Supreme Lord has to be done, or is possible, only when we develop our spiritual vision. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. When the eyes become anointed with prema, love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, premanjana churita bhakti. The basis of that is devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then only we will be able to see bhakti vilochanena. And then the perception will be like the way it has been described here. That perception is will cause one to experience ecstasy. And those experiences become manifest in the form of, externally become manifest in the form of 8 ecstatic symptoms that manifest in the body. Trembling, romanchaka, the standing of the hair on their ends. kampa, trembling of the body, ashru, tears flowing from the eyes, taranga, baha. So these are the ecstatic symptoms that become spontaneously manifest just when one sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Through our sadhana bhakti, through our vaidhi bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, worshipping the Lord on the in the temple, in the altar, offering our prayers to Him, we are actually going through the practice. And eventually that practice will lead to perfection. There is no need to feel disheartened or disappointed. It will happen. If we practice the process properly, then eventually we will be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. And that also will not be the result of our bhakti, our sadhana bhakti. That will be due to the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When He becomes pleased with our endeavor, with our effort, then He will manifest Himself in front of us, just as He did in front of Aditi. And here Brahma also is seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even Brahma cannot see the Lord Himself by dint of His own effort. The Lord can be seen only when He Himself becomes manifest. That Satchidananda Swarup of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that Satchidananda Swarup is so wonderful that immediately we'll become free from all our material attachments. And we'll become attracted to Him out of spontaneous love. So in this respect, again, love is the most important consideration. Love is the most important consideration. Like He may be present in front of us, just like He is present in front of us on the altar as the deities. These deities are His Satchidananda Vigraha, non-different from Him. The Lord Himself is standing there. The Lord Himself is accepting our worship. The Lord Himself has manifested Himself in front of us. But still, we don't see Him. Why? Because that prema aspect is missing. It is something like Duryodhan is seeing Krishna and Arjun is seeing Krishna. Is this the same? The two persons are seeing. Now, is it the same perception? No. Duryodhan is seeing Krishna as his enemy. Duryodhan is seeing Him as a big obstacle on his way to his sense gratification. He's thinking that if this Krishna was not there, it would have been much easier to deal with the Pandavas. And he was seeing Krishna as an obstacle. And that's why Duryodhana, although Krishna is present in front of him, he is not seeing him. Whereas the Pandavas, how are they seeing him? So this is the difference between mundane perception and bhakti perception, spiritual perception. So at least we have due to Prabhupada's mercy, we have accepted Krishna and we are approaching Him in a favorable way. So that is our positive situation. At least we understood that Krishna should be approached with the mood of the Pandavas, not with the mood of Duryodhana, the Kauravas. And now we are practicing sadhana bhakti. This sadhana bhakti will lead us to receive Krishna's mercy. Sometime He will come and there is no hurry, no rush. We are prepared to wait. Mama janmani janmaneshware. Let it take life after life, doesn't matter. But only prayer is bhavatad bhakti rahaitukitvai. That we can maintain our devotional attitude towards you life after life. It doesn't matter how many life it may take. It may take millions of lifetimes. Doesn't matter. A devotee doesn't worry about that, doesn't care about that. His consideration is that I do not deviate from the path. At least we know that this path is leading to the spiritual sky, Golok Vrindavan. So if we remain on the path, then someday we'll reach the destination. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us, or in order to teach us, prayed in this way. Mama janmani janmaneshwari bhavatad bhakti rahaitukitvai. And the basic mood should be na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim kavitang bhajagadishakamai. We do not want any of these things. We do not want wealth. We do not want name and fame or big following. We do not want the association of beautiful women. We are not interested in the beautiful flowery descriptions of the Vedas in the Karmakanda section that is alluring a living entity towards sense gratification or fruitive activities. No. None of those things are desired by us. Our only concern, our only desire is that we can serve you life after life. And for the sake of your service, we are prepared to accept any situation. Kito janamoho jatha tua dash, bohir mukho brahmo janme nahi ash. Let me be born as an insect in the association of your devotees. But if the life of Brahma, if the position of Brahma is bereft of Krishna consciousness, I do not want that position. The most exalted position in the universe is that of Lord Brahma. And his friend, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is praying that I do not want the position of Brahma if it is not Krishna conscious. So the main desired object is devotion to Krishna. If I have it, rest is irrelevant. Whether I become a devotee as an insect, whether I become a devotee as an animal, even if I become a devotee in a very degraded situation, it doesn't matter. And we see how wonderfully the Lord reciprocates with his devotees. Like in this episode, we will see that how the Lord reciprocated with Bali Maharaj. Apparently he came to deceive Bali, but he became enslaved by Bali's devotion. Bali was prepared. Bali, of course, we know that Bali Maharaj is one of the 12 Mahajans, one of the 12 most exalted devotees. So to us, Bali Maharaj is not a demon, just as Prahlad Maharaj to us is not a demon. Prahlad Maharaj's identity to us is that of a pure devotee. Similarly with Bali Maharaj. Shukracharya tried his best to dissuade Bali Maharaj to submit to Krishna, Bhavandev. He could recognize, he could suspect that this dwarf boy, is not just an ordinary person. This must be Hari himself. And he must have come with some dubious intention. That was his assessment. And he told Bali Maharaj that please don't grant him. He's asking for 3 steps of land. Which brahmana will come to this arrangement of Bali Maharaj when he is offering everything Bali Maharaj is famous for his charity. He is of the givers. Bali Maharaj is considered to be the greatest one. He gave, actually during the Vedic time, after performing the sacrifice, the kings would give away everything, practically, in charity, to the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. And so here, Bali Maharaj is giving out in charity. And Bamandev came, a small little boy. But he's so beautiful. He's so attractive. Bali Maharaj began to wonder, who is this boy? My heart is attracted to him in such a way. Like, who is this person? I'm prepared to offer everything to him. So he asked the boy, please tell me what you want. And the boy said, please give me 3 steps of land. The land that is covered by 3 steps. And Bali Maharaj was surprised. He said, look, you have come to Bali. You can ask for anything. I'll give it to you. One doesn't come to Bali and ask for just 3 steps of land. That you could go to any Tom, Dick and Harry. Like, that is not the thing. Like, you came to Bali, so ask something befitting Bali's position and Bali's generosity. And his response was, what's the point in asking for more than what is really necessary? And we don't need just 3 steps of land, and that's good enough to lie down. We need some place to lie down when we go to sleep. And there's 3 steps is good enough for that, large enough for that purpose. So Shukracharya suspected something. He suspected that this is unusual, that this Brahmana boy came all the way to Bali Maharaj and asking for just 3 steps of land. And so he warned Bali Maharaj, don't give, don't grant him what he has. I suspect that this is Hari he has come to take away everything from you. And Bali Maharaj's response was, if Hari came to me, I'm already prepared to give him everything. He doesn't even have to ask. I'm prepared to give him everything. Let him take everything away from me. Because that is the perfection of life. And then but Shukracharya, when he failed to convince Bali Maharaj, then he entered into the water pot to stop the water from coming out of it so that Bali Maharaj couldn't do the achaman. Before granting the boon, he had to do the achaman. And Bali Maharaj was trying to pour the water on his palm, and the water was not coming out. So Vamandev said, let me see. So he took a kusha grass and poked it. And as a result of that, Shukracharya became blind in one eye. He just pierced his eye, and he's screaming, he came out of the kamandalu. So this is how we can see that what a wonderful devotee Bali Maharaj is. And Bali Maharaj also pointed out that the guru's business is to lead one to Krishna, not take one away from Krishna, dissuade one from Krishna. So if the guru does that, then that guru should be rejected. So, in this way, through this chapter, we can see what a wonderful devotee Bali Maharaj is, although he is born in a demoniac family. So this shows that devotional service is for anyone and everyone. It's meant for everyone. Anybody has the right to become a devotee, irrespective of his caste and creed, and material situation. Apparently, Boli Maharaj is a demon. But he is one of the greatest devotees. Now the definition of a demon here also is suradvisham. They're not opposed to Krishna. Often the demons are actually opposed to the demigods, because they are opposed to the demigods, suras. They are inimical towards the suras, therefore they are considered to be asuras. Even an asura, even a demon can become a devotee of the Lord. Because it's the prerogative of every living entity. Everybody can become a devotee of the Lord, because everyone is a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And eventually everyone will become a devotee, provided he becomes exposed to the process. So what is important is to come across the process of devotional service, bhakti, or bhakti lata bij, to receive the seed of the creeper of devotion. And once we get that, we have to consider that this is a result of our great good fortune. Sometimes these good fortunes are generated by our own deeds. But in most cases, this is not a result of one's own doing. It has been pointed out by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurya Kadambini that bhakti is not a product of our pious activities. Bhakti is the product, or bhakti can be achieved only by the mercy of a devotee of the Lord. Brahmando Brahmite Kono Bhagyoban Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata Bij. Now what is important is the Guru Krishna Prasad. Guru Prasad and Krishna Prasad, they are actually interlinked. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets a Guru, and by the mercy of the Guru, one gets Krishna. One cannot be achieved without the other. We cannot get Guru without Krishna, Krishna's mercy. So, he is pointing out that it is the devotee who actually creates that good fortune. Therefore, the only way to receive devotional service, or to have access to devotional service, is simply by the mercy of a Vaishnava. Without the mercy of a Vaishnava, it is not possible. He very systematically analyzes that point, that what actually causes one to receive devotional service and others not. And one of the main points he is making, that if we say that Krishna gives devotion to some and Krishna doesn't give devotion to some others, that would make Krishna partial. But Krishna is absolutely impartial. So there is no question of Krishna being favorable to, Krishna favoring some and not favoring others. But a devotee of Krishna, he is not like Krishna. He is not that impartial. Yes, he is partial to those who show interest in the words of the scriptures or the words of the Vaishnavas. So those who receive the instructions of the scriptures and those under the guidance of a Vaishnava, the Vaishnava becomes pleased towards him. And he grants him, he offers him the seed of devotion. So this is how, it's only by the mercy of a devotee we can receive devotion or bhakti lata bij. And that is not enough. Then we have to properly cultivate that seed. The field of our heart should be prepared to cultivate that precious seed that we have received from Vaishnava Thakur. If the heart is barren, like desert sand or rocks, then it will not fructify. The seed will not fructify. The seed needs proper soil for fructification. So you have to prepare that soil. It should be saturated with Shraddha, with faith. That faith is going to saturate, is going to make the land fertile, the heart fertile. And just the land itself is not enough. We need to water the seed. And the watering of the seed will take place through proper hearing and chanting. So in this way, the process has to be properly followed or practiced. If we practice the process properly, then eventually, yes, then Bhakti Lata Beej will sprout into a seedling. From the seed, the seedling will come out. And when the seedling comes out, there are two leaves. The seed develops into a seedling with two leaves coming out of it. And those two leaves of Bhakti Lata are so wonderful that they take care of all our material problems. Kleshagni and Shubhada. In one hand, it destroys all the kleshas, all the suffering. Just by Bhakti Lata Beej fructifying in our heart, it will take care of all our suffering condition. All our suffering conditions will be immediately removed. And Shubhada, all auspiciousness, will appear in our life. So that is what Bhakti Lata will do. Just by fructifying into a seedling, that precious seed that we have received will take care of all our suffering condition and will bring all auspiciousness in our life. And then it will grow. And as it grows, different developments will take place in our spiritual life. Shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. From that faithful heart, from that heart that is steeped with faith in Krishna and Krishna's devotees and scriptures and the process of devotional service, when we practice that process, it will gradually develop into attachment to Krishna. Then this attachment will gradually develop into experiencing spiritual emotions, bhava. And bhava has been considered to be the flower of that bhakti-lata creeper, bhakti-lata. That creeper of devotion will be decorated with the flowers. And that flowers will gradually turn into the fruits. And that fruit of that devotional creeper is prema. So the process is there, and now it's a matter of properly cultivating it. We have got the seed, and now let us cultivate that seed in the field of our heart. And we have to become the gardener. And if we properly take care of that seed, the rest will automatically happen, especially when we are in the association of devotees. where we found or we have been fortunate to be situated in an arrangement that Srila Prabhupada personally has made for us. That is the wonderful arrangement of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We simply have to remain in ISKCON. As long as we are alive, let us remain in ISKCON and let us die in ISKCON. The rest will happen automatically. And we are seeing how wonderfully one achieves his success in his spiritual life. Just by dying in ISKCON, remaining in ISKCON and dying. Sometimes we have seen individuals who actually defected from ISKCON, who left ISKCON, went away, and did not have any connection to spiritual process. But as they realize that the time has come for them to leave their bodies, they came back to the association of devotees. Even though they fell down so badly, but just by coming back in the association of devotees, when they left their bodies, they left their bodies in such a glorious way. Now what to speak of those who have been committed to ISKCON, remained in ISKCON their whole life and then left their bodies in ISKCON, surrounded by devotees chanting, devotees giving Ganga water or Jamuna water or Charanamrita in their mouth. We've seen. They left their bodies in such a wonderful way that it became obvious that they went back to Godhead. That's how, while nowadays we see that some sort of culture called the art of living is becoming so popular, but we realize that our process is actually the art of dying. We are mastering the art of dying, not the art of living. What's the point in knowing how to live but do not know how to die? But if we know how to die, we'll make it. And the reward is immortality. We learn how to die and we achieve immortality. So that's the wonderful process that Srila Prabhupada gave us, the way back to Godhead. And let's practice the process and make our life successful. That is what the human life is meant for. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes?
Thank you, Maharaj. I have two questions. If you can allow me, I can ask you. The first question is, you're telling about the process. We have to follow this process for the whole lifetime and remain in ISKCON. We don't have to go away. And we should be even ready for birth after birth after birth, also following this devotional process. Then the success is assured. But a time comes in our Krishna consciousness. We know the philosophy, we know the process, we know what we are supposed to go. We know the goal of life, we know all the systems also and all this process of saddha, bhav, prem, everything, we know it. We know that what if we have to be cautious also. But in a stage of Krishna consciousness, we have to be always attentive, on guard. There should not be a single day in our life where we don't follow the process with thorough alertness, on guard. Little bit negligence if we follow in this process then creates a havoc in our Krishna consciousness. And we know it, that one day also we become negligent, sense gratification just traps us and we become completely off-guarded. And it becomes extremely difficult again to come back on the track. So it's a long process. Being an alert at every now and then, every day in the morning we have to follow the principles. Even if we have become tired, lazy, anything, we have to be. There is no, so to say, laziness or tiredness allowed in our Krishna consciousness. So one point of time, some type of a monotonousness happens in our life, in Krishna consciousness, some monotonousness. We feel, oh, again same thing, again I have to follow. And little bit monotonousness happens, we become relaxed in Krishna consciousness and sense gratification comes in our heart. And it becomes a very difficult juncture to again come back on the track. So I would like to know, Maharajas, if that thing happens in our life, when that monotonous phase comes in our life, what to do at that juncture to somewhat come back again on the track and not to compromise our Krishna consciousness and be again on the smooth footing what it was before. Can you even share your realization also that when you, it might be following for everybody, when you go through that phase in your life, what you used to do to it so that you can come back on the track again?
Thank you. Yeah. That's why the safest thing or the safest way is to be in the association of devotee. If you are in the association of devotees, even if there is some possibility of deviation, the devotees will pull you back. So that's why the most important consideration is actually to remain in the association of devotees, render service in the association of devotees. And if we properly serve under the proper guidance of the Vaishnavas, advanced Vaishnavas, then I'll tell you that there is no room for monotony in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is so full of excitement that there is no room for monotony. It may become monotonous when we go away from the process, when we drift away from the process and drift away from the association of devotees. Like, just consider, you know, like Krishna rewards our, you know, service in such a wonderful way, especially preaching, especially book distribution and preaching. Like, I mean, devotees come back with such wonderful, exciting experiences. I mean, and preaching, there is no dearth of possibilities for preaching or opportunities for preaching. We can just step out of the temple, go into the road and start talking to people about Krishna. And you know, like, where is the room for monotony when such wonderful opportunities are there? And even if there is something, and it happens, like sometimes we do feel depressed. But when you feel depressed, then what happens? Take it as Krishna's mercy. Krishna puts the devotees through different apparent difficulties. Like Pandavas went through so much difficulties. But was it monotonous for the Pandavas? Like, read Mahabharata and you see. Even the Pandavas, when they're in exile, when they're incognito, their life is so full of excitement. You know, every day is coming with so much excitement. So, Krishna consciousness is full of excitement. And that excitement will keep us going. And this excitement will actually bring the taste. Like, Krishna consciousness can become monotonous, can become boring, only until we get the taste of devotional service. The taste of devotional service is so wonderful that once we get the taste, there is no way we can deviate from that path. So, what's your second question? Thank you very much for such a wonderful question. And I hope it was all right.
Yes, thank you very much, Maharaj. Maharaj, second point which I always used to feel it is, our Gaudiya Sampradaya makes it very clear that we are ready to come back again and again and again and serve the Lord irrespective of whatever standard Krishna wants us. We just wanted to serve Him at any cost, irrespective of wherever Krishna wants to send us. On one side, we have been told that way. But on the other side, when you read Prabhupada books, Prabhupada used to give so much emphasis in his books to see to it that any person who takes into Krishna consciousness should make a very clear goal in his life to finish his business in this lifetime itself. So on one side we know it, that pure devotional standard means to come back again and again and again, irrespective whatever Krishna wants it. But on the other side, we also have, by seeing this craziness in this material world and so much anarthas and so much destruction, even if we wanted to follow devotional service in a smooth way, then also the destruction is so much that we always have a fear that, Krishna, I want to come back, I want to serve you, but not in this place. I want to get out from that. You can place me in that place where I don't have any distraction. There I can go on serving you, but not over here. So that type of a guilt is there in our heart. But when that guilt is there, we feel that we are not following pure devotional standard. So can you just tell us what is the gist, what Prabhupada speaks, and what is the pure devotional standard?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Prabhupada also said that, you know, like at first, we should be serious about getting out of here. Like, meaning, we should not remain in the material nature. We should make it a point to get out of here. But then, when we achieve a more advanced stage and become properly engaged in devotional service, then we realize that devotional service can be executed irrespective of any external situation. It doesn't matter where you are. You can render devotional service. And devotional service is the source of ecstasy. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath ki. It's the devotional service that is the source of ecstasy or joy. It is not our external situation that makes us. Like, for example, again, Prabhupada is saying, when you go back to Godhead, when you go back to the spiritual sky, what will you do? What will we do? What will you do? We'll chant the holy name, we'll render devotional service. So what's the difference when you can do that here only? Like here also we can chant, here also we can render devotional service, here we can also discuss Krishna Katha and, you know, be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So this is, when we become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then this is the spiritual sky. Although apparently material, this becomes the spiritual sky. So that's why for a devotee at a proper, you know, properly, when he is properly situated in his devotional service, he is already liberated. He doesn't have to separately desire for liberation. He is already liberated. Those who are properly engaged in devotional service, they are already liberated. Liberated is actually just a side effect of devotional service. Therefore, a devotee doesn't have to separately desire for liberation or aspire for liberation. And especially when Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement, at least, you know, in Vrindavan, you have to see Krishna, you have to render service to Krishna, and, you know, then only you'll be able to render service to Krishna and all. But in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, in spiritual sky, there is one area of the spiritual sky, Vrindavan, which is Navadvip in Golok. What are they doing there? They're chanting the holy name, they're preaching, they're discussing about Krishna. So what's the difference between this situation and that Navadvip? It's the same. There also we'll shave up. There also we'll wear saffron clothes. And there also we'll be chanting and dancing in ecstasy, you know, singing the glory of Krishna. There also we'll be discussing about Krishna, which is preaching. Preaching actually means Krishna Katha. Going and, in some cases, you know, somebody may be unaware or ignorant of Krishna, so we have to speak to them in a certain way. But in some cases, where someone is already situated in Krishna consciousness, then when we speak to them, then that is the relishing the nectar of Krishna Kathamrita. Nectarian discussion. Satang prashangan mamabirja samvido bhavanti ritkarna rasayana katha. So this ritkarna rasayana katha we can do here also. Right? And that is Krishna consciousness. I mean, association of devotees means we are discussing about Krishna, planning about spreading Krishna consciousness. So this is Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement. And Mahaprabhu Sankirtan movement still today is an extension of the spiritual sky. Mahaprabhu is still present through his Krishna consciousness movement. So we don't have to change our situation. We have to realize that we are perfectly situated in the spiritual sky. And that is what Srila Prabhupada gave us. That's why it's more exciting, more variety. Like you have, here you have three types of people to deal with, right? Devotees, innocent, and demons, right? But most really in Golok Navadvip there is no demon. And no innocent also. Everyone is absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So, I'm sure it will be very exciting. But here also there is excitement. When you go and preach to innocent people and withstand the onslaughts of the demons. Isn't it exciting? Demons are coming to attack. And you know, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, we overcome that attack. How do you feel? Our excitement increases with those attacks. Our faith in Krishna increases when we see that how Krishna is taking care of us. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Srila Prabhupada ki, samabeto bhakta vrinda ki.